Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
If you would please stand for the reading of the Word today. This is the opening message, obviously. We're going to talk a lot about what God has accomplished through our partners that we support through your missions dollars. We're in Philippians, the first chapter. If you'd turn there, we'll also have the scripture on the screen. And follow along as I read. Everybody there? Philippians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 3. Paul is writing, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, we just come to your word today, and we submit, as we have already sung, to the moving of your Holy Spirit to speak to us and use us any way you see fit. Lord, encourage us today with your word, Lord, in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this word that appears here in our text, partnership, is the Greek word koinonia. It describes our together participation. I'm getting a little ring up here. I don't know if you are down there, but I am up here. It describes our together participation, our fellowship as a multi-sided relationship. This is kind of a synergy thing. In other words, that together, it's more than just the addition of our parts. It's not 10 plus 10 plus 10 equals 30. It's 10 times 10 times 10 equals 1,000. The idea is that together in partnership, we can accomplish far and beyond whatever could be accomplished by ourselves individually. Now, in our text, this partnership could reference a number of different things, but it's likely that Paul's joy over their partnership was meant in a broader sense than just these little things that we see come up throughout Philippians and elsewhere. It's likely that what is meant here by partnership and the joy that is brought because of it is their partnership together, their commitment to accomplish the mission of God, or some would say the missio Dei, the mission of God, which was the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the expansion of his kingdom throughout the earth. Now, you don't have to attend CCC long to know that missions, or this mission of God, runs deep in our DNA. It has for decades and has only grown, been part of our DNA. In fact, as Pastor just pointed out, part of our mission statement, the bullseye of influence, is together personal witness and together missions. Together missions doesn't mean pastor's missions. It doesn't mean board members' missions. It doesn't mean missions council missions. It means all of us together in partnership. And today, we praise God together over his amazing faithfulness. Anything we share today is not patting ourselves on the back. The opposite is true. Anything that we have seen completed and our missions fulfilled is because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and faithful servants around the world that we have partnered with. Last year in 2020, CCC, our total missions giving to further the mission of God in our own communities, in our state, our nation, and around the world exceeded $701,000. Last year, Faith Promise ended at about 97% of that which was promised coming in. That set a record. This year, 11 months in, you know, our missions month begins November 1st and ends October 31st. Now we're 11 months in. This year, Faith Promise is coming in at 109%, by far the best ever. That's amazing. CCC missions giving out of 13,000 Assemblies of God churches in the U.S., CCC is number 29. out of 254 churches in Michigan, and this is the first time ever in the history of our church, I believe, CCC is number two. And number two is amazing when you consider that we have churches in our district with memberships of 1,200, 2,700, and one 5,200. Truth be told, I'd rather be number 10, because if we were number 10, that would mean that nine other churches are giving more than we are. Yeah. And this mission's DNA runs far deeper than just CCC. Many of you know this. Some may not, because we have new people come all the time from all different types of fellowships in the past. But we are a part of the Assemblies of God, which is not a denomination. It is a fellowship. By definition, it is a fellowship, a partnership. The same word is used, koinonia. The same idea is used as in the scripture here. We have partnered as the Assemblies of God together, local churches focused together on the mission of God, on the proclamation of the gospel, and the expansion of the kingdom. Now, many remember that in 1914, 300 people from many backgrounds, many denominations, gathered in Hot Springs, Arkansas, to form the Assemblies of God. This new fellowship to which we belong, this fellowship, partnership, defined from day one what we are to be about, a mission statement. They said all the way back at the inception, we commit ourselves to the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen. That's our fellowship at the beginning. That's our DNA. That is who we are. 300 people in Hot Springs, Arkansas in 1914 has grown now 107 years later to over 69 million people in 256 countries, territories, and provinces worldwide. That's amazing. That's amazing. I think we got the mission statement right in 1914, right? Because now, as a result of this partnership, thousands of missionaries are being sent all over the world. And that's the power of partnership. And that DNA, that partnership and the mission of God, is what you are experiencing here today. It's what you experience every time we host a missionary, every time we stand and give a Royal Christian Celebration Center welcome to one of our workers, every time you give a faith promise, every time you pray at a GPI. It's you and I partnering with each other, with 254 congregations in Michigan, with 13,000 congregations in the U.S. and hundreds and thousands of congregations worldwide and others beyond the Assemblies of God, partnering together in the mission of God. And I've got to tell you, the fruit of that partnership is nothing short of amazing. Nothing short of amazing. Now, in the time that remains today, I want to celebrate some of this fruit to show you just how powerful partnership in the mission of God really is. Now, the scope of what I'm going to share, anything that I share from this moment on, understand, this is not now the Assemblies of God. This is fruit from 100 or so of our supported missionaries. Every year, most of you know this, Christine sends an email out in September sometime on a good year, the last week in August, to our missionaries that we support and say, hey, in the last 12 to 24 months, what has our Faith Promise dollars helped you to accomplish? In other words, what have we partnered with you in? And emails begin to come in immediately. I mean, immediately, boom, boom, boom. And we end up with a stack of emails about this tall. And then she takes it and she goes through all those emails and creates, just boils it down to bullet points. Just bullet points. Well, I have a document that is 8 pages of 450 bullet points of just half of our missionary family just in the last 12 to 24 months that said, this is what you helped us achieve with God's help. And so the scope of what I'm going to share with you, understand, it's from a fraction of our missionaries, only what they chose to include in their response and only what we wrote down and have time to share with you right now. So it's much bigger than what you're about to hear, understand? So let me first put in context the fruit and what type of structure I want to present it today concerning. So there is what I will call, I'm not a missiologist, but what I will call a progression of the work of the kingdom. Now, this is important for you to understand this, and there's about six stages. And you'll see on the screen these six stages. There is relationship stage. This is the beginning stage. This is the humanitarian need. We just love people. We meet people's needs. We feed them. We clothe them. We minister to them. We encourage them. When I say we, I mean us and our partners all over the world and here in our community. We cast the net. We build relationship. And then we move to salvation. Hopefully this is in two stages. This is sowing. You don't get reaping without sowing. So we sow the gospel. We get the word in people's hands. And we preach the gospel in every means possible. We sow. And then there's the reaping, the professions. And then the stage of growth. After we see people saved, we want them to grow. Amen? We want them to be discipled, to grow up and be mature in the faith and be sound in doctrine. And then we want people to go into the ministry and be trained to lead and disciple others. That leads then to church planting. And that's the next stage, church planting. We're planting churches. Sometimes these are church buildings, people that meet in church buildings. Sometimes these are home churches or even sometimes just groups. And then we get to the facility stage. Now, when you say facilities, we automatically think buildings, but I'm meaning it broader than that, okay? I'm meaning anything that facilitates ministry. So that surely would include buildings, but it would include property and equipment and materials and ministry tools and vehicles. Anything that we need to now supply to this growing church that's being discipled, that is planting church, anything that can facilitate that growth. Are you with me? And finally, we have missions. This is the most exciting thing, but it's not just missions, specifically a stage of missions where newly saved people, once they're mature, and this can be a person and this can be an entire nation where the gospel is moving into. Once the church is matured to where now the harvest becomes missional. Where the new believer becomes mature and the church in a new territory, a burgeoning, pioneering place, becomes missional and starts sending out missionaries. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's a cycle, and it's not a check off the box thing. It's not a, well, okay, we get people saved, now we move on to the next thing, right? You continue to do, get people saved, even when the church becomes missional, we're still getting people saved, we're still planting churches. But this is the, now why in the world did I take the time to tell you all that? I'm so glad you asked me. I take time to tell you this for a couple of reasons. One, I want us to grow. I want us to grow in our mission's understanding, not just be inspired. I want you to be inspired today, but I want us to grow in our understanding. For example, you have 5 minutes to connect with a missionary. In most cases, 5 minutes. Now, you might hear a missionary that comes up here and talks about the fact that he's doing campaigns and 20,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus. And you're like, yeah, all right. And then you may have another one that's up here who is leading in a Bible school. And you might go, okay. I want you to see the strategy of both. Both of those things are absolutely critical to the forward momentum and the advance of the kingdom of God. If we're getting 20,000 people saved, who's going to disciple them? Who's going to plant the church and be trained for those 20,000 for the harvest to be captured and grown if it's not through our Bible colleges and mentors? You see, both are equally strategic depending upon the growth of the gospel and wherever it's at in that place of the world. Are you following what I'm saying? Secondly, I wanted to tell you this because I want you to know that your missions dollars are being invested strategically to advance the kingdom in all six of those stages. And just in the last 12 to 24 months, through our partners, we are witnessing example after example of the mission of God, the kingdom of God advancing in all six of these categories. And finally, I want you to leave here today absolutely convinced that through this thing Scripture calls partnership, that God has and will accomplish far beyond anything we could ever accomplish by ourselves. Now, notice in the middle of this chart, there's prayer. And I put that in the middle for one reason, because none of these six happen without intentional, concerted prayer. That's why over the last 11 years at our global prayer initiatives, you have invested over 11,000 cumulative hours of intercessory prayer for our communities and the nations. We've seen everything, miraculous things happening as a result of those prayer meetings, from visas being granted to healing from cancer to stories of miraculous protection, financial provision, hundreds of examples. I want to share with you one, and I'll share with you the example that happened most recently, less than a month ago when we were at our last global prayer. Now, we had been praying for Afghanistan. I know many of you have been as well. Not only that our military and missionary personnel would get out safely, but also for all Afghan believers trying to flee, in many cases, execution. We prayed last GPI for Afghanistan and a couple of other hot spots, and we had people stand on the maps. And one of our young adults, Sarah Harston, was the one that was standing in for Afghanistan. And I remember very clearly, I even pointed her out in front of everybody that were there, about 100 of us. Our map, Afghanistan, is about as big around as this table. And she's standing right there. And the way we chose to pray and intercede was to declare prophetically a song. And the worship team helped us, and we sang Waymaker. Lord, make a way for these people to get out where there is no way. Make a way. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. And you crawl into that moment. I'm telling you, it was a powerful moment. Well, the very next day, I found out that something indeed was happening halfway across our world. And I got an email from a personal friend of mine who's a missionary in Afghanistan who has made it out. And he sent this email the very next day. I had it in my inbox. I actually have the email right here in front of me. And this is what he said. Just a brief update. All six leaders of the Afghan believers and their family, 22 people, families, 22 people in all, have made it out of Afghanistan last night and arrived today in Qatar. Thank you so much for praying. I'm amazed that they were able to get out. And he says this: I will try to find out how they made it out. And I thought to myself, I know how they made it out. It's the Waymaker. That's how they made it out. That's the power of partnership, friends. And Sarah, someday in heaven, there's going to be 22 people who will come up to you and introduce themselves to you because of your partnership and the rest of our partnership, thousands of others who prayed. Let's talk about relationship. That's the first category. Humanitarian needs, reaching out, the church being the church. A few examples of the things that from our partners that they sent the last couple of weeks that we helped them accomplish through the faith promise. Now, I have a list of 60 bullet points. By the way, I have all 450 bullet points in a document. I'm not going to read them all today, so relax. But I do have them. I tell you what, this is just great reading. I'll make them available to you as a document at some point here during Missions Month. But there were about 60 bullet points just focused on this humanitarian thing, this casting the net, this building relationship, this caring for people's needs. Let me read a couple that you all partnered with. We helped dig a total of 12 community water wells in Zambia, Malawi, and Mozambique. 2,000 women were screened for cervical cancer in Burundi. 100 backpacks were given to slum kids in Cambodia, 5,000 family food packets in Indonesia, a home for 40 abandoned HIV orphans, and a safe house you helped to provide for 7 girls in Asia. 13,000 people fed during lockdowns in Bangladesh and India, 2,400 families given seed and garden tools for their home gardens in order to survive in the Ukraine, 10,000 hygiene packs to Azerbaijanis displaced by war, 30,000 meals and 2 ton of groceries to the homeless in Minneapolis. And by the way, a year ago in May, at the George Floyd murder there in Minneapolis and the unrest that followed, you had 2 ministries that were representing you and I on the ground right there in the middle of the chaos, giving out food, praying for people, helping lift people up and encourage them. Praise God for that. And oh, I love this one. You helped provide a dairy cow for a family of 10 kids in Estonia. Come on, how great is that? Yeah. You helped prostitutes and addicted in inner city Phoenix. You fed people in New Orleans and Pontiac and Detroit. Here in Midland, over 1,000 people in our area received food, help with utilities, gas cards, home life essentials, from all of our ministry partners right here in the Tri-Cities. 2,500 people received emergency shelter, and get this, 144,000 meals were served at Rescue Ministries of Mid-Michigan. I can't even get my head around this one. Over 22 million meals were served by our global partners, Convoy of Hope, responding to hundreds of disasters. And I can say this with confidence. If you're watching the news and you ever hear about a disaster somewhere around the world, if you're hearing about it, you can already be sure in most cases that your faith promise dollars are being represented right there in the midst of that conflict. Just in the last 12 to 24 months, listen, 22 meals were served, and with those meals come the gospel. How much of this did we accomplish by ourselves? Zero. How much of this did you and I participate with this thing called partnership? Every child, every meal, every at-risk teenager that God helped. That is the power of partnership. And I want to just share one quick story. This is from our workers. They send us stories also. I've had probably 10 or 12 pages of just story after story after story. This one stuck out to me. One of our workers in South Pacific Islands, he wrote this, and I'll quote, "CCC has helped us reach to the poor during these COVID days, even just this week. When we found out that there were 7 families with no money and no food, we were able to respond. The kids in these families were not going to school because they hadn't eaten in days. And the families were literally starving. We scoured our pantry, and then we went to the local supermarket and joined some ladies from the church, and we went out to these 7 different families and gave them food and prayed for them." And then he says this, I love it. "I know this is not Convoy of Hope or anything big like that, but it's just us on the ground here being touched by the hurts in our immediate area. And that's you as well," he wrote, "because we're just an extension of you all." And then he said this, "CCC, please know that during these times of difficulty and darkness, you are shining in these South Pacific Islands, a light that is steady and true, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you." That is the power of partnership. And then salvations, sowing Just sewing alone, all right? Seven translation projects you've had a hand in helping to accomplish to get the scripture into languages that never had them prior. We helped distribute 25,000 Spanish Bibles at our southern border. You remember that when you see the news and the talking heads are nya, 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 nya about everything at the southern border. Understand, you and me have helped get Bibles right there in the midst of all the chaos. That's a good thing to remember. We shared the gospel with students in Laos and in Djibouti and in Iran. Thousands attended evangelistic outreaches there in Minneapolis amid the unrest. In Saudi Arabia, get this, evangelistic media on Facebook was shared, and they had Saudi Arabia, 800,000 views in Saudi Arabia, 500 spiritual conversations and the gospel shared in Kyrgyzstan. The gospel's been presented to over 500,000 people in 55 countries throughout Latin America through Spanish online evangelism. And Facebook is touching now currently more than 13 million in Pakistan. One Hope, get this, gets the word into the hands of a child, every child, the word of God. That's what they do. One Hope, one of our ministry partners, gets the hand of the word of God into the hand of 215 kids every minute. That means that in this hour and a half service, when you get done with this service, just during this service time alone, because of our partnership in part, we've seen the word of God get to 19,000 kids somewhere in the world. By the time you lay your pillow on your head, or your head on your pillow, well, it depends on the day for me, let me tell you. Sometimes my pillow hits my head, I tell you. By the time you go to bed tonight, you have helped to provide Word of God to 300,000 kids just today. That's the power of partnership. One story about this. And this, again, just recently, a couple months ago, when the Taliban, you remember, we just walked through the 20-year anniversary of 9/11, when the Taliban, under the direction of mastermind Osama bin Laden, launched the deadliest attack on U.S. soil. But just recently, CRI, one of our partner organizations here in Michigan, orchestrated the distribution of 1,000 Arabic Bibles through local pastors in a radius around Osama bin Laden's former compound in Islamabad, Pakistan. And this shows you, you can see the concrete under their feet. That is what's left of Osama bin Laden's compound there. And so they organized a Bible distribution of 1,000 Bibles in the neighborhoods around. Some there wanted to erect a memorial on this ground, and others wanted a playground, but God spoke to the director of CRI and claimed this ground and the neighborhoods surrounding it as ground that belongs to Jesus Christ. And as a result, the local pastors have distributed the 1,000 Bibles. As you can see right there, this just happened about a month ago. They distributed the Bibles and began to share the gospel. Listen, and more than 100 Muslims in the neighborhood surrounding that compound gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. Yes! Just a few weeks, the director of CRI called me personally to thank all of you for your partnership in that effort. Wow, that's the power of partnership. Hundreds of ministries, thousands of conversations, every form of media, casting the net, sowing the gospel, sowing the gospel, sowing the gospel, and the fruit? Well, we heard, now this is just what I'm going to show you. This is just the fruit. How many people do you think came to faith in Christ in the last 12 to 24 months? Just through the 100 of our partners who told us about it. And this, we never ask how many people got saved. This is just stuff that when we said, hey, what do we help you accomplish through our faith promise? They just volunteered. Oh, hey, we had a Muslim get saved over here. Oh, hey, we had an atheist get saved over here. Hey, 10 people got saved over here. This is what they volunteered. 100 of our partners is all in the last 12, 24 months. How many people do you think that you and I have, through partnership, had a hand in seeing come to the faith in Jesus Christ? Well, we've answered that question. Check out the video. That's the power of partnership. Let me talk to you quick about growth. This is discipleship. Listen, in the last 3 weeks, we've received stories of thousands being discipled. Bible schools training hundreds and hundreds of pastors and church planters. And this training is going on every single day because of this thing called partnership. Let's talk about church planting. These are churches, house churches, and groups. Listen, just in the last 12 to 24 months, how many churches do you think that we helped our partners plant? This graphic shows you. 237 churches in the last 12 to 24 months. And this is a drop in the bucket. I tell you, from the other 100 people we haven't heard from, I don't see India on this list. And I know we planted churches in India. I know we planted churches in Nepal. I know we planted churches in South America. I know that this happened. So this, by conservative count, are the churches that God has used our partnership to see get planted. That's amazing, friends. That's amazing. Facilities. And let me just mention this about facilities. Again, I have all kinds of things I could say, but let me share three bullet points. First is this. We helped purchase, construct, or refurbish 128 church buildings, parsonages, and properties in 13 different countries. We helped renovate roofs, dormitories, kitchens, etc., on 17 Bible school campuses in 16 countries, not to mention printers, oxygenators, Bibles, books, curriculum, dirt bikes, and ministry vehicles. And most of you remember, just a couple of months ago, you covered in full from general fund giving a new ministry vehicle for three of our missionary families. Second largest missions gift, I think, in the history of our church. It's amazing. Facilities. You are helping to facilitate the mission of God. And the last thing is this: missions. This is the gospel and the kingdom moving forward. I think this is one of the most strategic of all six. Not that salvation isn't important, but salvation is not an end in itself. People are saved in order to be missional so that the Great Commission can be completed. So this idea of being missional, there is nothing more mission critical than sending workers into the harvest. We pray that every single global prayer. Lord, we're asking, send forth laborers. And there is an acceleration happening right now, not only around the world, but in our church. Just this missions year, CCC has added 23 new missionary units to monthly support. Now a total of 203 families. This is the highest number of missionary units supported by our church in the history of our church. Over the years, beyond short-term trips, CCC has sent out approximately 71 people into full-time mission service at home and abroad. Many are still active. In recent weeks, Matthew Place, one of our young adults, sings on the worship team, stands right up here, was received district and national approval for a 2-year missionary associate position, using his administrative and accounting skills to serve a business's missions in the country of Estonia. He is right now in Springfield, Missouri, attending pre-field orientation and will be commissioned 5 days from now, this coming Friday. In addition to him, another young family in our church, Luke and Shauna Moore, also are in Springfield right now this week. Wednesday, he will have his final interview to be approved as a fully appointed missionary to a country I can't even tell you publicly. These are two people right from our church body. And in the last 6 months, CCC made a commitment from the general fund to give a one-time cash gift, you remember, $2,000 to all 57 newly appointed AG missionaries at the time to encourage them in their fundraising and to get them to the field faster, a total of $114,000, the largest one-time missions gift, to my knowledge, in the history of CCC. Now, think about this. The largest gift we have ever given, devoted to the sending of workers to the lost around the world. That is amazing. Things are escalating, and the mission of God is advancing all over the world in unprecedented ways. I want to end with a couple of examples. We have for many years supported a missionary couple entirely focused on influencing national churches, entire countries, to become, this last stage, to become mission-sending countries. You understand the strategy of that? You know, the Great Commission is not going to be won when we Americans ride in on a white horse and get the job done. Not going to happen. We're a part of it. But the kingdom will advance when newly saved countries, people that the gospel is just breaking into, now become missional. This missionary has devoted his entire time to raising up countries to become missional. Now listen to this. When we started supporting them, there were only about 15 countries around the world that were sending missionaries. 15. That has changed and has now increased by over 590% from 15 to now more than 104 countries of the world are now sending missionaries around the world. That gives me goosebumps because the lost are being found at a rate that we've never seen before. After 10 years as a closed nation, the Sudanese government has issued approval and officially registered the Assemblies of God of Sudan. This is a miracle. And an AG couple will soon be living in Sudan and launching a church with the permission of this previously closed nation. If I told you the author, the originator of these next few points, you would know him. He tells us that the Assemblies of God of Syria has just formed. The Assemblies of God of Syria never before existed. It has now just formed with three churches, one of which has 300 Druze attending. That is one of the Arab world's top 500 unreached people groups, who at least now there are not unreached. Yes. The Arab World Assemblies of God Alliance, that sounds like a $1,000 term, but I got to tell you, it just formed, he's telling us, never before. An alliance of five nations that have come together. These are the nations. Think about this. Lebanon, Jordan, Iraq, Egypt, and Morocco, who have come together to say, we are going to ally ourselves to one purpose, and that is the reaching of the unreached for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never before happened. And it's happening now. It's happening right now. 250 Egyptian AG pastors gave their first ever nationwide missionary offering as a national church. When they announced to these pastors that it was going to Syria, spontaneously pastors started giving in this offering, and it increased by 600%. First offering ever from them. The Egyptian Assemblies of God built 40 churches in the last 6 years and added 3,000 small group fellowships. And now, a Muslim background couple has just come forward in Tunisia to partner with the Assemblies of God to start for the first time ever a Tunisia Assembly of God. This is happening, and here's what our worker said, and I'll quote him. In Dubai, Egypt, Tunisia, Jordan, and Iraq, we have been so encouraged to see how God's global body is advancing the gospel fearlessly. God is doing amazing things in the Arab world. Our national church partners have more vision to reach Muslims than ever before. The foundations of Islam are shakier than they've ever been. Now is the day of salvation. Folks, I've shared with you an eyedropper from an ocean of things that God is accomplishing all over the world through our partnership in the mission of God, just through our workers. Our text, I want to end here, celebrates the joy of partnership, but it ends with a promise. We'll put the scripture up, Philippians 1. Let's see it again. He says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Look at this, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, this good work that he has begun is not limited to the work of discipleship in each one of us, but it includes the work of the mission of God, this proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this expansion of the kingdom throughout the earth. And you can be confident of this. He will carry it out to completion. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And the mission of God is advancing like never before in the history of the world. If there has ever been a time that I want to be in partnership with that mission, it's right now. And as we have declared in most every GPI for the past 11 years, this gospel shall be preached to all people, and his kingdom will be established in every nation and among every people group, and every knee will bow and every tongue will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord indeed. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, say it with me, shall not prevail against it. Listen, this gospel is marching on through the slums of Calcutta, through the masses in urban centers and the jungles of Latin America and the mountains of the Himalayas, cutting through the darkness of Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam, reaching men and women, boys and girls in the north and the south and the east and the west. The kingdom of God is advancing, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Persecution cannot intimidate it. Politics cannot divide it. And culture wars cannot cancel it. And get this, COVID can't shut it down. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are many nations. We are many ethne, but we are one body standing in partnership with one another in the mission of God until all have heard. And we will not stop declaring together God's amazing grace.
So much has changed in our world lately.
疫情中，这么多人失去生命，显明了生命的脆弱与短暂。
Pero la asombrosa gracia y amor de Jesús es más fuerte que la vida y la muerte.
Wo auch immer du bist, ruf seinen Namen an. Jesus.
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 Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Yeshua.
Jesus.
Don't wait another day.
We are the church. Would you stand, please? Maybe you're here today and you are not yet. You saw the sinner's prayer there in multiple languages. Far be it from us in this beginning of Missions Month to deny an opportunity for anyone in this house today to surrender to follow Jesus Christ. Like us all, in a moment, we're going to show a prayer on the screens. And if we could all in unity pray a commitment prayer for God to use us this month, speak to us this month. And resident in this prayer is also a prayer of a repentance. And I would encourage all of us to pray in unity together from our hearts concerning committing ourselves to seek God in these next 3 months. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand before you at the beginning of this missions month. We stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters around the church world. We are your church, the ones you have redeemed, the ones you have called out for the privilege of partnership with you to see your kingdom advance. If in any way I'm not walking in right relationship with you, I turn from lesser things and surrender to you, your priorities and your purposes for my life. In these next 3 weeks, give us your vision as together we lift up our eyes and look upon the fields that are ripe for harvest. You have called us to pray, and with your help, we will pray. You have called us to love, and with your help, we will love. You have called us to send, and with your help, we will send. You have called us to go, and with your help, we will go. First to our family, then to our friends, to our neighbors, to our workplace, and to the nations, wherever and however you call us. And in these last days, we choose passion over apathy, obedience over convenience, faith over fear, and with your help, we, with millions of others all over the world, commit ourselves to the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen until all have heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.